Before we start on the sermon, if you'd please pray with me, I would appreciate it. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such way hear them, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And Christians, now please hear the word of the Lord. Psalm 1. The way of the righteous and the end of the ungodly. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Christians, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And please be seated. It is a delight to be among you. I owe a couple of apologies. One is the fact that you just heard a sermon on Psalm 1 last week.
No, this is great.
And the other is the fact that some of you have heard me preach on Psalm 1 before, although not very many. I don't see many familiar faces here. But hopefully time will be kind to me and you will have forgotten what came before, or else I'll be able to nail it back down for you. Thinking about Psalm 1, Psalm 1 is the entryway into the Psalms. We don't know who the final editor of the Hebrew Bible was. We don't know who the one is who finally decided these are the things that are the prophets, and these are the things that are Torah, and these are the things that are the writings. In one way. In the other way, we know full well that the capital E editor of the Scriptures is God Almighty. Just as He breathed Scripture into the men who spoke it and wrote it, He shepherds also the Scriptures as you find them in the books. So Psalm 1 is the entry point. As I go back to Psalm 1 time and time and time again, I camp here a lot. And every time I read Psalm 1, I am struck by what I'm going to refer to as the binary nature of the Scriptures. I started doing that before binary became a flash word. But what I mean by binary, very simply, if I go to that light switch and turn it on, the lights come on. If I turn it off, the lights go off. There is no in-between point for the lights. And if you look in the Scriptures, what do they tell you? They tell you there are sheep and there are goats. They tell you that the sheep go to the right hand of the Son of Man and the goats go to the left. They tell you that right-hand sheep are blessed and the left-hand goats are cursed. They tell you that the blessed right-hand sheep will go on to paradise. And they tell you that the left-hand cursed sheep or cursed goats will go to perdition. And that happens again and again and again in the Scriptures. And the same thing is what's happening in Psalm 1. Psalm 1, at the entry point of the Psalms, tells you There are righteous, there are wicked, and here is the basic reason why. Now, I want to get something out of the way up front with regard to this. There are people who write and say that Psalm 1 is solely about Jesus Christ. That we can't even go in there and grab anything for our usefulness because it's solely about Him. It is true. He is the only one who has ever truly fulfilled this. To not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or not staff in the path of sinners, or to not sit in the seat of the scornful. Jesus Christ is the only one who has done that perfectly. And He has done it for you. If we go back into today's responsive reading, hear these words again. Then I said, behold, this is Jesus talking. This is a messianic psalm. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O God. O my God, and your law is within my heart. You're going to hear an echo of that in Psalm 1. Now, we'll go through it. We'll do some things maybe a little different. We'll probably do a little Hebrew lesson. Do some interactive things. And having moved to Idaho and seeing the agriculture up there, I have a newfound sense of some of the agrarian images in here that really bring some of Psalm 1 out for you. So, Psalm 1, the entry point. The first word in the Psalms is the word blessed. Blessed is the man. Now, if you want to know about blessed, what you would do is go to Deuteronomy 28. And what does Deuteronomy 28 say? Deuteronomy 28 is a long chapter. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come out, and blessed shall you be when you go. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. I'm going to shortcut this. What Deuteronomy 28 says is you're going to be blessed everywhere, in every way, all the time, if you observe what the Lord your God has commanded you. So when you go through the Bible and see that word blessed in the Old Testament, this is what it's talking about. These are the blessings of the Lord. Some of you know who R.C. Sproul was. R.C. Sproul, Ligonier published a magazine called Table Talk. And every month in Table Talk, R.C. Sproul would pen an article. And the name of the article was, Right Now Counts Forever. I'm going to borrow from him, because R.C. Sproul wrote in that article in the 70s, blessedness is the ultimate form of happiness. There is no happiness in sin. And that again kind of brings the composite of Psalm 1. So let's go back. Blessed is the man. In the Hebrew, it's Ashrei Ha'ish Asher. and you feel this kind of rhythm to it. You hear some rhyming going on. There's some art in here. And it sounds like it's going to be a very pleasant thing. But then there's a marker. And what it really says is, blessed is the man. No. Emphatically. So in some ways, it's kind of abrupt. And that no follows with this triplet. Who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And there are two things going on there. And in the Hebrew, you can have more than one thing going on in the same phrase. Think about that agrarian culture. By the time you have walked and stood and sat, you had done about everything there was to be done during the waking day. So what the psalmist is saying, in all of your life, in all of your waking life, this is what the righteous man doesn't do. He doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And we know what that looks like, I hope. He doesn't stand in the path of sinners. Now, probably I grew up in northern Michigan, I'm sorry. And in our weekly newspaper from Detroit, on the Sunday edition, there would be articles. And lots of the articles were about the drag racing scene on Woodward Avenue. California aside, Woodward Avenue was the place to drag race in the United States. People would come from all over the country to challenge the quarter mile street racing on Woodward Avenue. And Friday and Saturday nights, watchers would line the quarter mile. And there's an image for you of standing in the path, just out of my history. But then if you want to go into the scriptures, take a look at Psalm 73, a psalm of Asaph. Asaph was one of the singers. He was a relative of David's. He was one of the leaders of the singers in the temple. And he starts and he says, truly God is good to Israel, to such are his pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. And then we'll go ahead and skip down the page a little bit. And he says, if I had said, I will speak thus, he's tempted to look at the wicked with an uncritical eye and think, this looks like a good deal. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children when I thought how to understand this. It was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. So here is an example of the scriptures of a man who is effectively standing in the path of sinners, considering it and thinking about it, and going into the sanctuary of God turns him away from that. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. Now, as I reach for the scornful, I go back to Genesis. What is more scornful than, hath God said? Really? Hath God said? But we read the scriptures in Psalm 73 and others of the Psalms in Proverbs. We read about the evil who are scornful of the righteous. Where is your God, they say? Scornful of righteous activity. Where's God? Does he see? And I want you to think about it. Where you sit is important, isn't it? Where you sit is a matter of identity. I suspect very few of your children, if any, go to public schools. I went to public schools, and you know, you wanted to sit at particular tables in the cafeteria. You wanted to sit in particular benches on the team bus when you're going to away games. You wanted to be with the cool kids. And there's something of that going on here. Sitting in the seat of the scornful is a matter of identity. It's a matter of saying, I want to be associated with them. I want to be seen as being like them, which leads to, I want to be like them and one of them. So blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Time for Hebrew lesson. Everybody say, halach.
Halach.
Okay, that's right. It's got that on it, like your cat was hissing at you. It's not a hard K. Halach is the word for walk. And I want you to think about an agrarian society. Unless you were a man who was rich, how did you get anywhere? Halach, right? I've got to walk. And as an aside, you take this picture of this man who's by the pool at Bethesda. He can't walk. He doesn't have a life. And I don't mean in the way that we talk to people and tell them they need to get a life. He really doesn't have a life. He can't do anything for himself in that society. If he doesn't have help, he's as good as dead. Now, next word, halacha. Halacha. What does it sound like, halach? Okay, halach, halacha. Halach is to walk, and it is so identified with the idea of what it's like to live in this agrarian society that halacha is a word that comes to mean the totality of your life. So when you say, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, he doesn't halacha. It's talking about his life and its totality. And in a way, then, you have halacha up here, walking, and then underneath, you have subsets of parts of your life. You have standing, and you have sitting. Now, I'm going to offer to you that walking in the counsel of the ungodly, of the wicked, standing in the path of sinners, and sitting in the seat of the scornful has never been difficult. It's not the hard choice. And I want to offer to you further that that has become even easier to do now than it was before. You can sit at your dining room table with your laptop, with your screen away from your wife and your family, and do all those things. And nobody knows it, do they? So the scriptures, you know, as you take what we see here and take it out into our lives, these things speak to us about what our laptops speak to us, about what our social media speaks to us, about the images on our laptops and what they say to us, if they tell us truth or lie. So, as point of application number one is, Consider your ha-ha. Consider your overall life. Consider what it looks like. And does it bear the marks of the counsel of the ungodly? Are you standing in the path of sinners, which is easy to do on the internet, easy to do on Twitter or X, easy to sit in the seat of the scornful? Consider halakha. Consider a way of your life. Scripture goes on. Instead of these things, it says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. And again, I'm going to take you back to that passage in Psalm 40. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. Now, this passage, law of the Lord, in the Hebrew, literally, it's Torah Yahweh, which means Yahweh is Torah. And Torah can mean many things. It can mean anything from just statute, do this, don't do that, I am the Lord. It can be the five books of Moses, the Pentateuch. It can be the overall counsel of the Scriptures. And I would point you towards that last one. I would point you towards the fact that this righteous man, his delight is in the whole counsel of God as it comes out of the Scriptures. And it says that in this Torah of Yahweh, this counsel coming out of the Scriptures, he meditates day and night. Now, again, there are times in the Scriptures where you'll find phrases that mean a totality. Walk, stand, sit. It's everything you do during the day. Grain, wine, and oil. Every time you go into the Old Testament, you find the words grain, wine, and oil. It's a placekeeper for saying all the entire blessings of agriculture and of the land. God has made it yield everything for us. Grain, wine, and oil. And here we have day and night. In an agrarian society, there are no light switches. Is there really anything but day and night? Shake your heads. No, there's really nothing but day or night. So he's saying this is an all-the-time thing. And this word meditates, it almost has the sense of a muttering. So it's telling you that throughout this man's day and night, this counsel of Yahweh coming from the Scriptures is going through his head. It's as if he is preaching to himself. I used to say that it is as if he has a soundtrack. Now I would say he has a playlist. And think about what's on his playlist. Because if we're talking about the entire counsel of Yahweh, it's not just do this, don't do that. Because that's good rules to live by, but it's not necessarily nutritional, right? But instead, think about the Psalms. The Lord, who sustains you, heals all your diseases. Psalm 136 recounts a history of Israel, and his faithfulness endures forever. The stories of the judges and the stories of David and the stories of the conquerings of the enemies by God without Israel's intervention, those are all part of the counsel too. And for you, Torah Yahweh doesn't stop at Malachi. Torah Yahweh stops with Revelation, in one sense. So you get to see the counsel of the God who knows the end from the very beginning. You get to see his mighty acts, including that mightiest act of all on the cross, the atoning death, burial, and glorious resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's part of the Torah of Yahweh for you. So here's another point of application. Ask yourself a question. What's your playlist look like? What goes through your mind as you go through life? When is the last time you just independently, sitting in your chair, went through the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed? When is the last time you actually took the time to run through for yourself the protection God has for you in this situation? You know that your boss is going to come through that door, and the likelihood is in 20 minutes you're going to be escorted out that door. Troubled marriage. Lost child. Lost parent. What are the things that are going to sustain you in that? One of the things that's going to sustain you is your playlist. One of the things that's going to sustain you is this catalog you have in your mind of the counsel of Yahweh from the scriptures and from your life. Because you have the scriptures that provide you with all this. And you have your own personal experience that provides you with it. Look back into the book of the Judges. That first group of people who came across the Jordan and who stayed back in the Transjordan were faithful. Was their second generation? No, they weren't. And why is that? Because they didn't have the playlist. They didn't have they didn't see it personally. And it wasn't, and the scriptures tell you it wasn't passed down to them. So parents, here's another application. Curating the playlist of the younger generations is yours. It may be all the way to shepherding what's actually on their phones, but certainly enculturating them in this is on you. In the Torah of Yahweh, he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. He doesn't stand in the path of sinners, but he stands, right? What is more standing than a tree? He stands. It says he is planted. And that word isn't a word that's used for some bird planted hackberry. This is a word that's used for someone who has actually taken this sapling and he has put it someplace intentionally. And that word for rivers of water isn't the word that is used time and time again. Hundreds of times in the Bible to describe rivers going through places. It's not the Euphrates. It's not the Jordan. This is channels and irrigation ditches that people have dug. So what he's saying is, he's a tree. He's been planted here by this stream of water that has been put there to nourish him. And what is the nourishment he's getting from this channel? Anybody?
Living water.
Living water. That's right. And what comes in living water? The Torah of Yahweh. So he's planted here. He's got these channels of living water. And one of the things that comes in the living water is the Torah of Yahweh. So he brings forth his fruit in its season. What do people do with fruit? They eat it, right? So if this righteous man who is planted by rivers of water is bringing forth fruit in its season, what is he doing for the world around him? What is he doing for his church? What is he doing for his family? What is he doing for his workplace? You know, this is God bringing forth good blessing through this righteous man who's planted by these rivers of water. And it goes on, says, his leaf shall not wither. Words in Hebrew can easily have more than one meaning, and this word does have a kind of a second meaning. The second meaning is to not grow foolish. And that takes you back to this river of water that contains the Torah of Yahweh that comes up into his life. So he's planted here, and because he had this Torah of Yahweh, because he has his playlist, he doesn't grow foolish. If he were to grow foolish, what would he do? He'd walk in the counsel of the wicked, he'd stand in the path of sinners, and he'd sit in the seat of the scornful. So, by the will of God, this man planted by these rivers of water, nourishing him with living water, nourishing him with the Torah of Yahweh, that he doesn't grow foolish. And whatever he does shall prosper. I'm going to reference you back to Deuteronomy 28 again, because this is a shorthand for that. This is saying whatever he does, wherever he is, whenever he is, will be blessed. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. I was telling someone earlier, I live in an area called the Palouse. We grow wheat. We grow lots of wheat. We're in Latah County. If you go west of us to Whitman County, Washington, Whitman County, Washington grows more wheat than the state of Kansas. It is the largest wheat producing county in the country. We're in harvest time now. And when you drive down the road, you will see this harvesting machinery. And you see two things coming out of it. You see wheat being pumped out of them into trucks. And you see this huge cloud coming out the other side that the wind just drives away. You can have to turn on the recirc on your air conditioning when you drive past those fields, or otherwise you're going to be breathing it. That's chaff. And that really gives you a good understanding of what God is saying here. When the ungodly are like chaff which the wind drives away. And in Old Testament times, you find in John 17 maybe, it speaks of, no, Matthew and Luke, speaks of Jesus, the Son of Man, who is going to winnow the grain. And the wheat he's going to, which means tossing it up in the air. So they fork it up in the air. Sometimes they have to use a fan because the wind's not blowing to blow the chaff away. And the wheat goes into the barn, and the chaff goes into the furnace. There's a picture here. And this is a meteorological and agricultural thing. The promised land, Israel, is a strip land about 60 miles wide and 120 miles long. Runs north to south. On the west side is the Mediterranean. On the east side is high desert. In the spring, west winds come off of the Mediterranean, bearing moisture. They go up over the highlands, and it rains. And it can rain a lot. But then suddenly, it's like the faucet gets turned off, and the wind switches, and it's from the west. And there's this hot, dry blast furnace coming off of the high desert. And in our part of the country, that happens too. Get water enough to irrigate the wheat. God shuts off the faucet, hot, dry winds, wheat ripens, goes golden, gets harvested. Same thing in the promised land. But think about a tree. Think about this tree. It tells you his leaf does not wither. So in these meteorological seasons of rain and drought, and rain and drought, this tree stands firm. He stands. And what could be more unlike standing than the ungodly? Chaff driven by the wind. And all of us have reached a certain age of seeing that, haven't we? We know people of our acquaintance, maybe in our workplaces, maybe neighbors, who you can look and see, they're chaff driven by the wind. And as this church prays for the world around it, those people who are chaff driven by the wind need what you have. They need to be able to stand as opposed to being blown away. You have the only thing for them because you have the gospel of Jesus Christ to offer them. The Torah of Yahweh, the ultimate counsel of God, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have that to give them. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Now, I think I told you very early on that there's a marker in the first verse that puts an emphasis on the word no. When you get down here in the fifth verse, you have the same thing. Another marker and the word no. Which is a signal for you that there's a framing here. Here's what the psalm is about. The psalm is about the difference between the righteous and the wicked. Another thing that gives you a flag for that, one of the things you do in exegesis, you go through and you count words. How many times does this word appear in this passage? And except for prepositions and articles and that kind of stuff, no word appears here more than the word wicked. So that frames it for you. The scriptures are binary. And here, the doorway into the Psalms, God is telling you the Psalms are binary as well. There's the righteous, those who are God's, those who belong to Christ, and they're the wicked, and there's no twain between them. And here it says the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. I think that the Revelation speaks to that. I think that the parable of the sheep and the goats speaks to that. Throughout the scriptures, Psalm 73, Asaph says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I saw their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation, as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. And having set the frame for the psalm, says, for Yahweh knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And why does Yahweh know the way of the righteous? Because it is His way. It is the way He has set before them. It is the path He set for them to take. Let's pray. Father, we give You thanks for Your goodness to us. You bless us and watch over us, O God. And Lord, You bless us in ways we don't even understand. We pray, Father, that You would make us ones who fully reside in Your counsel, that we would not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But instead, O God, that we would cleave to You and to Your pathways, and You would set them clearly before us. Father, all this in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.